Had he lived, Andy Warhol would have celebrated his 75th birthday today. At his death in 1987, Warhol had done more than any other artist to make art synonymous with commerce. So it's fitting that a new book about the buying and selling of art centers on a search for a perfect Warhol painting. NPR's Renee Montaigne talked to author Richard Polsky.
Richard Polsky is an art dealer in San Francisco, and the year Andy Warhol died, Polsky set out to buy a Warhol painting for himself, which turned into a 12-year saga, which he has now chronicled in his book, I Bought Andy Warhol. When he began back in 1987, Richard Polsky figured that $100,000 was enough to get a painting. And why that particular sum? Well, that's what people in the art world thought a small Warhol was worth.
Warhol's work has been around long enough where you have a consensus of collectors, curators, artists, dealers who have decided that certain images that Warhol created have a historical resonance. They matter. In other words, the Campbell soup cans are important because when Warhol started doing those around 1962, you have no idea how radical they were. In fact, when they were done, they were shown in a gallery in L.A. They were $100 each. And there was a rival gallery across the street that was so outraged by this that they went to the market, they bought some actual Campbell soup cans, they stacked a pyramid of them in the window, and they put up a sign, "We have the real thing here for 29 cents.
By 1987, even $100,000 wouldn't be enough to buy a can of Campbell's soup by Andy Warhol, nor one of his famous Marilyn Monroe portraits. But one might have been able to pick up a Mao Zedong portrait or one of Warhol's self-portraits in a series called Fright Wigs.
They looked as if Warhol had put his finger in a light socket, and his wig, as you probably know, that was a wig. Warhol was bald. It stood on end. And they were haunting. They were mysterious. They were much as much about death as life. You felt the presence of Warhol in the room with you when you saw one of those paintings.
It would seem like if I wanted to buy an Andy Warhol, and certainly you're a dealer, I would go into a gallery or go to a dealer and I would say, here's my money and here's the painting I want to buy, or here's my money and what would it buy for me? Nothing remotely like that happens, really, it sounds like from your book.
You know, it does sound absurd. You have all this money. What could be easier? I mean, you want to buy a car. You have the money. People are happy to take it. Not so in the art world. For instance, there was a time I was trying to buy an Andy Warhol painting of a lobster directly from the estate. The lobster's body was black, and it had outlines of pink and red that defined the lobster. It was very visual, very decorative. Anyway, I was dealing with someone named Vincent Fremont, who's a wonderful guy who ran the estate, but like everyone in the art world, he's an eccentric. And whenever I called this guy to try to discuss this deal, I could never get through to him. I mean, this went on for weeks. Finally, I was so desperate, I called and asked for his dog, Matilda. And, you know, just anything to, you know, get his attention, put me through, let's do a deal. Anyway, things got so desperate in terms of getting him to return my call that I actually went down to San Francisco's Fisherman's Wharf. I found a toy rubber lobster, rushed back home with it, wrote out a note, "Hi, Vincent, I'm Larry the Lobster. Would you please call Richard Polsky so he can buy a painting of me?"
And was that cute enough for him?
Well, this is the crazy thing. You know, I expected him to call me, but he didn't. Finally, I just caved in. I called him and I said, "Vincent, did you get the lobster? What'd you think?" He says, "Yeah, I got it." And I go, "Pretty funny, huh?" And he's like, "Well, it was okay. You know, what is it you want? Why are you calling me?" And I was stunned. I mean, he threw me off. I mean, dealers torture you to buy paintings. They make fun of you. They laugh behind your back. And they're all, you know, in the world, in the general public, a lot of people suffer, I feel, from low self-esteem. In the art world, it's the opposite. Everyone's self-esteem, I think, is too high. I mean, they act as if they painted these paintings themselves.
Richard Polsky got that lobster painting in his capacity as a dealer to be sold later. In the end, though, being a dealer never made it easy for Polsky to buy his own Warhol.
And the reason why is the art world is outrageous. It's completely out of control. There's a lot of goofiness. In other words, there's a chapter in I Bought Andy Warhol where I go to a big gallery. It was called the James Corcoran Gallery in Los Angeles. And again, Jim was, you know, the finest dealer, arguably, you know, in all of California. And I went down to look at a Warhol Mao painting, hoping this would be the one I would buy. And he ends up throwing that weekend that I was there, a big dinner party because he had opened a new gallery. There might have been 60 people there, a lot of L.A. art world celebrities. The painter David Hockney was there, Ed Ruscha, the late Marcia Wiseman was there, the doyen of L.A. collectors, for instance. Great food. The waiters kept filling everyone's glass with wine. So as you can imagine, people quickly got inebriated. And I don't know who started it, but all of a sudden somebody threw a chicken wing and hit this woman, Marcia Wiseman, who had this big blonde bouffant right in the back of her head. Well, Marcia being Marcia, grabbed the chicken and threw it at one of the artists. The next thing I knew, pandemonium broke out, where it was like a scene out of Animal House. People were throwing food. And people were dressed well that night, so to protect their clothing, they're hoisting up pieces of tablecloth, you know, to duck behind it, and it was totally out of control. Well, the bottom line was somebody threw another piece of chicken, somebody ducked, and it hit a very valuable Ed Ruscha painting. Smack, I mean, just right on, and it left a grease spot the size of a silver dollar. And just like that, the party came to a halt, silence in the room.
Oh, wow.
And Ruscha runs over to inspect the damage and says to the owner, "I sure hope you have insurance." That is the art world. Food fights, nonsense, juvenile behavior. Somebody once called the art world high school with money, and they were right.
Richard Polsky, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
In 1998, Richard Polsky finally got his Warhol, a green fright wig self-portrait, and at the bargain price of $47,000 and change. Richard Polsky's book is called I Bought Andy Warhol. I'm Renee Montaigne at NPR West, Los Angeles.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.